Hi everyone. Welcome to part six of the verdict equation. Over the last few days, I've begun to unpack some of the details of what I've called the verdict equation, which has been my attempt to try and summarize the Gospel of John, where he arrives at this verdict, where he, in a very logical way, demonstrates that Jesus is in fact the Christ, and that through him and a process that we follow, we have the opportunity by our choice to be able to receive full and complete and vibrant eternal life. Now that's what the verdict equation attempts to set out to explain. And I want to explain these first four blocks initially of going from truth to light, and then seeing what the opposite of these two blocks are. So going from truth to light, this is the verdict that John reaches. And this is in his words. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. But people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. In other words, if your deeds are exposed, it's revealing something of an untruth, in other words, of lies. And so the opposite, obviously, of light is dark, and the opposite of truth is lies. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been in the sight of God. Now, in a little bit further down in John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus speaks a little bit about the devil, and he says he, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning, which is kind of speaking about the opposite of life. If Jesus came to bring life, the devil came to bring death, and we have a choice which way we're going to follow. So he, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. In other words, he was the opposite of truth. For there is no truth in him, in the devil. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So in this this verdict equation, one can see that it all starts out with truth. If you don't actually live by the truth, we start living a lie. So one can see that as one grows in truth, and as we are more truthful in every element of our life, it allows us to move into an area where we are exposed into the light. The opposite is also true, is that when we live in a world of lies, it ultimately leads to darkness. So let's complete the top half of the equation. In John 3, verse 16, the verse that everyone knows, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." In other words, through Jesus, we will receive eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Now, on the bottom half of that is the same equation, in John 3, verse 36, John explains as follows. "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son, Jesus, will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them." So the implication of not accepting Jesus as the Son of God is wrath. Furthermore, the opposite of life, in John 5, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." Now, what this is implying is that through Jesus, we can receive life. However, by not receiving Jesus, we ultimately will end in eternal death. Now, that's a very difficult thing to be able to understand. But at the end of the day, if you just read John's Gospel more and more and more, you will realize that at the end of the day, we have a choice to either accept that Jesus is in fact the Christ and accept the life that he will bring. Or if we don't accept the choice, which by the way is our choice, we will just return all the way back to this. And we will just go through this loop of trying to find truth, trying to find light, which may be godly, and we might be doing all sorts of good things and paying our taxes and all those kind of things, but it's not bringing us true eternal, three-dimensional, full life. The implication is that by not following this equation of ultimately receiving eternal life through Jesus Christ, is that one can jump from truth to lies, and from lies will eventually result in darkness. Darkness will result in ultimately in God's wrath and judgment, and ultimately that's going to arrive in death. Now, here's an interesting thing. You would have noticed that prior to these elements of the equation, I've got a triangle here, which in business process speak relates to making a decision. And in fact, there's actually, other than this decision of making Jesus your Lord and Savior, before this whole process starts, there's a decision which we have to make as well. And that is the fear of God. So we can decide that either we fear God and it will set us on this path of truth, light, Jesus, and eventually eternal life. Or one can decide that I don't have a fear of God, that I'm going to do it my way, and it will set us on this path of lies, darkness, wrath, and eventually eternal death. So, in fact, this is actually where it all starts. And I want to read you a verse from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, in this particular context, the word knowledge and wisdom is kind of interchangeable. In other words, the fear of the Lord is where the switch kind of gets switched on. A similar verse is in Ecclesiastes 12, right at the end of the, in fact, it's the last verse of the book of Ecclesiastes. It's a most interesting book which describes Solomon in his own words, who kind of went along this path of truth. You recall that that when he was anointed as king, he was given a choice as to what gift did he want. And he said, well, I'd like to have wisdom. And so he pursued wisdom and truth, and he came into a degree of life in his life. However, he got to the end of his life and he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And it was very clear from that book that he was disillusioned. He'd done everything in his power to be a good person, but he didn't actually really achieve eternal life. And he concludes with this final verse at the end of the book with this. And he says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. In other words, after he pursued all of these things and he got to a point to realize that actually this isn't really giving me the full answer, he comes to the conclusion is that the fear of God is actually where it all starts. Now, I want to deal with something which is really close to my heart, and this is the issue of how far one can go without the Holy Spirit. Now, I've got a lot of friends and colleagues who are bright, hardworking, honest individuals. And I've often observed that they have gone along this path and eventually come to a point where they are disillusioned, that they've done everything in their power to be good people, but have never really been satisfied in their heart of hearts that they are saved, that they have received this eternal life. Now this brings us to the third and last level of the verdict equation, and this is the issue of spirit. Now this is quite a complicated issue theologically. In Romans 1, it describes in quite a complicated way that no one can really embark upon this road of truth and light without the Holy Spirit prompting us somewhere within our heart. And it says that that no man is without excuse, because something of the conscience of God has been planted into our heart. So when we all, everyone, whether you're Christian or non-Christian, when we start out on this road, it is actually prompted by something of the Spirit. However, we have the choice as to whether we'll allow the Holy Spirit to take us into the next level, or whether we will allow that the Holy Spirit diminishes further and further into our life, till eventually we achieve a point where the Spirit is dead. We might have had truth revealed, and we might have come into some degree of light, but at this point, disillusionment sets in. However, when we get to this decision point of realizing that Jesus is the Christ and he is of the Spirit, this opens up the gateway that we are now become spirit beings, as what the Bible speaks about quite clearly. And this kind of transaction takes place where we move from just intellect, just philosophy, just being a good person, just going into truth and light, going into a spiritual growth where through Jesus we now receive eternal life. The tragedy is that many good people get to this point and they are not able to make that spiritual change into a kind of a new dimension, to make this leap from flesh into spirit. It's something which offends the mind. It is really difficult to understand. And in fact, the story of Nicodemus in the book of John actually describes that quite well. Nicodemus was a learned man. He was actually a Pharisee. And he comes to Jesus and he really wants to know, well, actually, who are you? Jesus knew that this guy was intellectual. He knew that he'd gone down this path of truth and light. He was a Pharisee after all. He was a good man, and I'm sure that he obeyed the law. And Jesus confronted him directly, and he starts speaking about the Spirit, and he says as follows: Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God, in other words, into this dimension, unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." And it is through Jesus Christ that the Spirit comes alive within us, and it sets us on this path where through Jesus we ultimately receive eternal life. So that is the verdict equation in summary. It eventually arrives at the purpose of why John wrote his gospel as follows. And John writes, "Jesus performed many other signs," John in fact only refers to seven miracles in his gospel, but there were many other miracles that we know from other gospels. "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book," John writes, "but these are written," including this whole process, "that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." So, in conclusion, I would really like you to think about this, understand it intellectually, ponder about it, read the book of John, work through it, but ultimately make this decision of a year to move from flesh to spirit, so that through Jesus you might be able to receive everlasting life that is in three dimensions, multicolored, vibrant, active, where you've got meaning in your everyday life today, so that this process of eternal life may commence today in your regular normal life, as well as it being completed in the eternal life hereafter. So thank you for this journey of going along with us for a few days. I trust this has been helpful. I trust that it's also challenged you to realize that you don't have to throw your mind away in order to understand the gospel. God bless you.